Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
Yo, welcome to another episode of Balls Deep, the sports podcast of the Blackout Tips Premium Network for all the people that pay money and want high quality content. That's what we're here for. Today, we don't have any guests. It's just me and my co-host, Justin. What's up, Justin?
Man, what's going on, Rod?
You know how we do, Sleazo.
What's going on, premium listeners?
It's time to get it in. First things first, we can't start the show without talking about the number one thing. Game one of the NBA Finals was played last night, and Miami took that L.
Yeah, man. I was so geeked up. Like, I literally had it on ABC 2 hours before the game. That's how geeked up I was about it.
I actually went out to a bar to watch the game at Wing Night, and I didn't even know it started till 9, so I was at the bar like 7:30.
Oh, you were super nice.
Yeah. I was there for 2 hours just drinking beer, like, man, I wait till this game start, dog. But I was so excited, I didn't even care. Like, if it had been any other game, I would have probably went home. Any other event, I'd be like, I just eat and go home and catch, yep, this shit later. I ate and still waited, man.
Man, it's the love of the game. It's the fact that we know it's coming to an end. And the older I'm getting, the more I actually appreciate basketball and these playoffs and these good-ass games.
Yeah, I actually tolerated a couple of awkward discussions about race with white people just so I could watch this game, at least the first half. So let's go ahead and talk about the game a little bit, man. I thought it was well played to a certain extent. Basically, the Spurs ended up winning by about 4 points. It took a miraculous Tony Parker bank shot on LeBron, like one of the best shots I've ever seen in my life, for them to win. What'd, yeah, you think about the shot, Justin?
Oh, man, I was like, wait, he's still dribbling the ball. He must have practiced with N1 at some point in his life, and he has his composure. Like, I really was, anybody else would have choked. It would have been a turnover, a block by LeBron, steal or something.
Yeah, like, that was the thing, too, like, because he does that Tony Parker move where he dribbles around 47 times until he gets open. But he dribbled around, got double-teamed, he got bumped, he got knocked to the ground, he kind of, like, fell down. Never lost his dribble, got up, went up and under LeBron James. LeBron jumped up, and I swear he touched the ball.
Oh, he did. He hit it. And Parker double pumped, man.
Double pumped in the air, and it still went in. You can't even be mad at that shit.
I could have sworn I heard him call bank shot, too, when he released it. I thought he said bank. Like that's how composed he was the entire time.
Yeah, it reminds me when I used to play ball at Seabrook Park. And we had this dude from the military who hit a bank shot, and he would go, bonk. I feel like that's what Tony Parker said, bonk, after that shit went in.
You know what's crazy is I know you talk about a lot of times about how the guard a lot of times is overrated.
It's very overrated in the NBA.
But the thing I realized with Tony Parker watching last night's game, because this is the first time I really actually it was focused in on him, because, mm-hmm, you know, he brought a lot of tension. He's older in the game. But he dribbles so much and dominates the ball so much. He actually is underrated, mm-hmm, as a player, and just he actually makes the guard position look so easy because he does it so seamlessly.
Well, that's the thing about Parker that's the reason I say the point guard position is overrated, is because of shit like this. Like, people, if I said name your top five point guards, most people will not have Tony Parker at one until we get to the playoffs or the finals. And then they go, oh yeah, that is right. He is impossible to fucking stop and he's annoying as shit. But you don't really think about it through the regular season because he's not flashy. He doesn't put up the assist numbers of a Chris Paul or, you know, Steve Nash when he was in his prime. He's not the best defender. He'll play. He has no ego about playing off the ball. When they put LeBron James on him, he immediately shut his game down and was like, I'm not going to force any more shots unless it's a shot clock related issue.
See, even then, I think he still dominated, still handling the ball, just, mm-hmm, not looking for a shot though.
Right.
Which to me was still a form of aggression and controlling the game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, when I mean shut down, it was like he had 8 points in a row, and then it was like they put Bron on him, and he was like, I'm not going to keep trying to get 8 points. Like, now I'm actually going to, because if you notice the plays they scored on when Bron was on him, other than that last second bucket, it was mostly Parker not making the assist, but making the pass that made the assist. So, like, yep. He would kick it to Ginobili. Ginobili kick it to the corner. Danny Green hits a three.
And that's the thing about it, man. They are like a fucking machine out there, man. It's the same play over and over, regardless who has the ball, except for Neal.
Yeah.
When he's in the game, I don't know why the Miami Heat didn't go up 15 points.
Yeah.
And then, but I realized, oh, Pop didn't let him really handle the ball. He goes to the ball, and Ginobili will wave him off. Green waves him off. Everybody waves him off like, no, I got it. Like, they just only want him to catch and shoot, and that's it.
I mean, the main reason that the Spurs, because people keep saying, like, well, the Spurs didn't even shoot that well from three, and if they would have shot their normal percentage, it would have been a blowout. And I don't think that we're going to see them shoot a lot of their normal percentage. And also, the Heat didn't shoot their threes that well. But I think the reason they're not going to see it is because they're not trying to take risk. Like, if you look at what they did last night, if this, I'll read one column of stats to you. You tell me what it is. 0-2-1-0-0-1-0-0-0-0 for the Spurs.
It's not rebounds, because yeah. I know Duncan had a million rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go, I guess, with turnovers.
Turnovers. They had 4 turnovers total for the team. When is the last time that he played anybody that only had 4 turnovers for a game? You know, that, like, the Spurs are playing so safe that they're not going to give those extra points for the fast break to the Heat easily.
But see, is that turnovers, or does that kind of, Parker is the anomaly where he's the one guard that does make the difference and not overrated, because he's mm-hmm. dominating the ball so much. There aren't that many turnovers.
Well, I don't think all point guards are overrated. I think the position is overrated is all I mean. Like, I don't, like, you can be a good point guard and be a great player and all that stuff. I just think that there's a lot of times when we call someone a great point guard, it doesn't mean anything. Like, they're not going to win a championship. It doesn't mean that team is always going to be good, unlike other positions. Like, if you call someone a great center, you expect Shaq to never play on a team that doesn't go to the playoffs.
Well, I get what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? So, it's not a slight at Tony Parker. Like, he's a great player, and especially in situations like this. Actually, no, I don't want to overrate him. Let me chill. Let me stop with that. I think he's a really good player, and he fits this team better than any point guard could. Like, if you just switched him up with Chris Paul, this team wouldn't be as good. But in the regular season, he averaged, 2.6 turnovers a game. He had 0 yesterday.
That's, and even that 2 is a low number.
In the conference finals, he averaged 4. You know what I'm saying? So, like, just last week, he was averaging 4 turnovers a game. Now he's down to 0. Like, I think
Conley a better defender than he got.
I mean, that's possible too, but I really think a lot of it is just simply the Heat aren't the Spurs game plan is way different.
First of all, man, when we talk about game plan, I don't want to go too far into discussing the playoffs without saying that I miss seeing Steven Jackson on the bench.
We got a story about him coming up later, too.
Okay, well, I'll hold off on him.
Yeah.
Hold off. It's hard. I'm going to hold off on him, though. But the game plan, man, Pop basically did the same thing he did. He was experimenting when he sent Tim Duncan up home earlier in the season and was mm-hmm. like, let me see what my bench players can do against them. And won, like, basically 3.5 of the quarters and lost, like, the last 7 minutes in the fourth. Like, he basically was saying, fuck LeBron. I'm going to focus in on everybody else. I'm not going to double team LeBron. LeBron yeah. is not going to get all these damn assists and get everybody else involved in the game. If we lose, it'll be because LeBron has to play like he did in Cleveland. And we saw the end result of that last time.
Now, I will say this. Even after watching that game last night, which I thought, you know, my prediction was that the Heat would actually sweep the Spurs.
Yeah, I thought they were going to smash them every game.
Yeah, I will say this is a game Miami lost more than the Spurs won it. Because I feel like Miami fucked up gameplay strategy-wise in several places. And I want to say it was you that said it, but it was the hero coaching from Spoelstra that really hurt them, in my opinion, because he always reacts to shit rather than being aggressive and making shit happen. Right. It really didn't make sense to me that you put LeBron on Parker after he gets 8 points in the fourth quarter. Like, I would start my fourth quarter with LeBron on Parker.
LeBron didn't even start the fourth.
Right.
He was on the bench.
It's like a lack of aggression. And I understand that they're tired or whatever, but they are the younger team.
What?
And you're an NBA athlete and you're in the elite 1% of the NBA athletes. And yet there's only at most 7 more games left in your season.
I can't excuse the tire.
Yeah, I can't.
I can't excuse the tire. Suck it up.
Yeah.
Like, go take your shot during halftime. You know, get your banana or something. You know, get your quick energy boost. Do something. But I can't excuse the tire. Nope.
Yeah.
Not when you've been cruising a majority of the season.
Not to mention my biggest thing that I did not understand, and if Spoelstra's any kind of coach, that will be the last we see of it. Chris Bosh shooting threes. Why is Chris Bosh shooting threes, Justin?
I don't think he liked it, but I think he learned from his first season of let me not call them out in front of everyone else either. Mm-hmm. Because the first season, Spoelstra would have been like, no, I didn't tell him to do that shit. That was stupid, and we're going to address that. Last year, you noticed you didn't hear too much of him commenting about anything negative. He came up with great political answers for it.
Yeah.
And I think he's gotten better at that, but he definitely, nobody approved that. That's Bosh being like, man, fuck, I'm tired, and Hibbert put the thing on me, and I'm comfortable out here now. Tim Duncan working me in the post with that footwork. It was beautiful, man. Watching Tim Duncan's footwork was poetic.
Yeah, man, but I saw something yesterday I thought I'd never see. Tim Duncan got scared a couple times. Like, do you see that one where he turned around? He was basically open except Bron was coming to the weak side and he shot the ball and that shit hit the top of the backboard. I was like, I ain't never seen Tim get flinched up like that, man. He was a little shook.
It happened there now and then. Happened there. Normally he consistent. Normally he's like, I got this. But you have to make him mad normally. In order for him to get like that. He was still in that whiny crybaby, I didn't foul him mode.
Yeah, so in addition to they didn't hit their threes for the Heat. They didn't adjust well. You know, I thought Spoelstra waited too late. They had my man Bosh shooting threes, which needs to stop. What the biggest thing that I think goes, okay, you know what? Miami should still win this series if the games go anything else like this. LeBron James only shot 4 free throws. I don't think that'll happen again in this series. If Spoelstra and LeBron are worth anything that I think they are, he's going to have to start driving the lane to draw the contact. Because just because the Spurs are in the lane doesn't mean you can't draw a foul on the Spurs in the lane.
See, I think... We forget the Spurs sat down and watched the Pacers Heat series.
Of course.
Like, they watched it. So not only did they watch it, then they went and had game film and studied it. So it's basically getting all the answers to a test. And they got all the answers. They know how to shut down and not put LeBron on the lane. They watched the Pacers do it. So I don't think he'll.
So do you think he won't be going to the line more than four times the rest of the series.
Definitely, but not 10 like he would during the regular season.
Well, they lost by 4 points. He went to the free throw line 4 times. I'm going to say in the last game against the Pacers, he went to the line 16 times.
Right. Look at that final game also as a whole too, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just a clusterfuck by the Pacers.
But the reason it looks like a clusterfuck is because Bron and Wade actually penetrated and put pressure on their bigs, put people in foul trouble, made them not be aggressive. They double team players, shit like that. and they didn't seem to have that level of intensity.
Their defense was more intense that game, definitely. Right. But I don't necessarily know that the offense, I can't say that the offensive game plan and their strategy changed any other than maybe Dwayne Wade actually made some shots.
Well, not just that. Wade shot 17 times.
He shot 16 last night.
No, he was aggressive last night. No, I mean, in the Pacers series, the reason that I'm saying it's a different level of effort from the team is Wade is shooting 17 times going to the back, and then Bron is getting six fouled and going to the line 16 times. So to me, that is way more aggressive than four free throws, for Bron. And I think it was even four for Wade. I think that is a lack of aggressiveness. It's taking what the defense is giving you.
I don't know if you can pull up the shot chart, but I think Bron shot a lot of close shots that game. Mm. I think he was driving. I just think he wasn't getting the calls. Mm. And it's different. Now, I will say the different aspect of it, like you said, is Dwayne Wade was actually driving and not shooting as many jumpers. And I think that once you have both of them attacking, that makes a difference. But if only LeBron attacking, then it's not going to make a difference. And that final game, Bosch was attacking. So you got three of them attacking and not just LeBron. So then I think that makes a difference on the actual foul calls being called, because it's a constant barrage of people going to the lane versus only LeBron.
See, I don't think Bron's going to finish this series averaging 18 points. You know what I'm saying? So it's stuff like that where I'm like, they're obviously going to improve. And if I'm put it like this, you know what? Let me flip it on you this way then. If you're Eric Spoelstra, what do you do? Do you just say we can't beat the Spurs?
No. What I do is I have a team. I have regular practice with everyone else, and then I have a meeting with LeBron after that practice and say, listen, I want you to do just like you did in Cleveland, and I want you to go ham, but every fucking quarter, fuck getting away his shots. Now, during the timeouts and everything else, I'm going to pretend like I'm crafting plays for Wade, but in theory, I want you to get the ball and go shoot.
Okay.
Like, that's what the fuck I would do, because you can't rely, you obviously can't rely on Wade consistently throughout these playoffs. And you can't wait till, you can't let this go to a game seven.
And if you get all those shots from Bron, all of a sudden.
I'm still happy with it.
No, I wasn't going to say that.
No.
Do you think he will get more free throw attempts, but by the nature of the fact he's being more aggressive shooting the ball?
Yes, because he will also get those shots being on the post more. I think he only posted up like twice the last game.
That dude, that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm not even like I said, if I'm looking at this game and I'm the Heat, I'm going, we blew this shit.
And they didn't even, but here's the thing though. I saw him on the block a lot with Kawhi Leonard, and he still wasn't getting the ball, and he had Leonard like fucking pent.
Yeah.
And he wasn't getting the ball. And I even saw the frustration once. It was like during towards the end of the third, fourth quarter, and I was like, they got to get LeBron the ball. That's the Heat. Wade getting his shots.
Like I said, that's the Heat losing the game. Like, I'm looking at Bron's stat line from, and the thing is, other people didn't play that well and all this shit, but I'm concentrating on Bron because I feel like he's the one that can improve.
I don't know what else he could do other than shoot more.
I think that's what he's got to do. He's got to shoot more. He's got to get to the line.
Right. But
he has to get the Spurs in foul trouble. He was the dude that drew the second foul on Duncan early. And then you never saw him really in the paint again.
Didn't he get the first one? He got the first one.
He got
both of them.
He put Duncan in on the bench.
So that's what I'm saying. He was driving. He was penetrating.
And then he stopped, though. Like, because he started passing because they just hung out in the lane. And he didn't post any. You even said he didn't post anymore. And he wasn't driving.
I said he only got like two post shots. He was still down, though. They wasn't getting him the ball.
Yeah, if you're not getting it, you're not getting it. So that's not. If a post up where you don't get the ball is not a post up. You know what I'm saying?
But that's that whole Dwayne Wade trying to get his 16 shots though. And Bosch jacking up the other 16.
Yeah, but unfortunately you're gonna need Wade to shoot and you're gonna need Bosch to shoot. Do you?
Only if he's penetrating, not jumpers though.
For Bosch, it's a shot selection issue. For Wade, I'm completely, and this is gonna sound crazy, completely fine with him shooting a lot of shots as long as he's being aggressive. Like, I don't care. Like, he had 7-for-15 night. I would live with that every night. If he could do that, five, six more times, I think they'll win the series. Cause LeBron's not gonna play this passive. He made the right plays, quote unquote. He got 18 rebounds. Like, I don't want to shit on this dude's game.
He had 10 assists.
Yeah, keep him.
Along with 18 rebounds.
I'm not shitting on his game. I just really think either he'll go to the line more.
We want more. We want more.
Well, I think he's capable of more, but either he'll go to the line more or he'll hit a higher percentage of his shots. Because 7 for 16 is child's play for LeBron. That's a bad game. Shooting.
And you know what? And if it was maybe Golden State or a lesser opponent, I would say, you know what? You totally right. I just feel like there's so many factors that I can't. It's hard for me to be.
So
like,
how many games do you think the series will go?
Man, after watching last night, it might go seven, but only. I feel like I honestly at first I was like, man, the Heat gonna sweep them. Yeah. I honestly feel like now every night it's a toss up because the Spurs are gonna be consistent. And it's all going to rely on, to me, not even just Wade, but the rest of the four people that's out there playing with LeBron.
Do you buy the whole they were tired thing?
No. I feel like the rest of the team might have been tired. LeBron didn't look tired to me.
He didn't look tired to me either.
Wade didn't look tired. He played tired, but he didn't look tired.
Yeah, Miller didn't look tired. Ray Allen didn't look tired.
They hadn't played enough. The rest of those guys hadn't played enough during an entire game to be tired.
Here's the thing. I don't think, maybe this is blasphemy to say, I don't think they played that bad.
The Heat?
No, yeah.
No,
I don't,
they didn't. That's my
like,
point.
But the thing is, like, with the Pacers, I felt like sometimes they played terrible and they lost.
Right.
With this one, I feel like they didn't play bad, but this is not a beat the Spurs level game. Right. That they played. And the funny thing is they were still in it. Like, everybody feels defeated, but it really did take a miracle shot by Tony Parker to win this game.
Well, see, it also took a miracle stupid foul by Green to even have them that close.
What a dumbass foul.
Like, but that's kind of what I'm saying is that while we expect so much from the Spurs, I feel like from the Heat, we downplaying what the Spurs actually did. Like, they put the rest of the team on lock. Yes, Dwayne Wade shot more, but they were terrible shots.
See,
shots. Are they going to get good shots against the Spurs? Against the Pacers, we know they're going to get good shots.
I feel like put it like this. I feel like this is with me, you, and Damon at the gym.
Right, exactly.
And we lose. I feel like the Heat are us when we lose and we go, Justin, what happened? You'd be like, I'm not gonna shoot so many threes next time. And then I'll be like, you know what, man, I gotta get to the hole. I'm gonna post up. And then Damon's like, let me start driving. Like, it's
or actually box out.
But Damon will never hit it. So yeah, actually boxing out. But I'm saying, like, if I'm the Heat, that's what I'm saying, and I feel like they can say that because those are things they can change. Like,
well, maybe I looked at us as being the Spurs, that we were the old man group out there, and we got a few young boys on our squad, and we made them play the way we play. And that's why even if teams go up on us sometimes, it doesn't matter. We still consistently play the same.
But we should lose when a team is better than us.
But think about how rarely we do.
Right, we just don't. But I feel like that's not acceptable in the NBA.
But see,
like, that's acceptable at the YMCA, but as a professional basketball player, matter of fact, Justin, if they lose a series, the Heat fucked up. Like, this is the Heat losing to an inferior team. Like, it's not other way to spin it.
But is it that they do so many of the basic shit that none of the other teams do that it makes it like, oh, we should beat them. We are the better athletically gifted. We have the better shooters, but because they do so much of the fundamental basic things and we don't play anybody else like that, it makes the game competitive. It makes the game hard.
Yeah, but making it hard is one thing.
And calling timeouts when they need to be called timeouts.
They're excellently coached.
Coming out of timeouts and actually getting points, whereas other teams, we force them to turn over right after they timeout.
Yeah, they're excellently coached. I'm not even debating that. I'm simply saying none of that matters. Because the Heat are the better team. So if the Heat lose this series, it's the Heat that fucked up. It's like when we play a team where it's like five dudes that play college ball, they should beat us. And when we beat them, I'll be like, them niggas fucked up. And this is how. But we'll sit on the sideline and be like, why was dude shooting them threes, man? He should have been passing it to my man. He had the mismatch. You know, that's how I feel the Spurs talk about the Heat right now. It's like, why was LeBron not driving? And why, you know, why?
But here's the thing. The same way they got Ginobili, mm-hmm. I don't want to say Damon's out Ginobili, but Damon can actually shoot.
Of course.
He just has a height difference. Damon can get his shot anytime he wants.
So you think the Spurs are the better team then?
No. Like, if, I'm just saying it's not as lopsided. I'm saying it's not as lopsided to where.
It can't be that lopsided in the finals, dog, but I'm saying.
It's not an automatic guarantee like we both originally thought the Heat just gonna suit them.
Yeah, see, I still think it's a guarantee they're gonna win the series.
I'm
not shook at all. Like this is our 5 o'clock loss, dog. That's all this is. This is that, like, damn, man, what the fuck? Why was he, you know, hey man, stop passing MT the ball on the break, man. Like, cut to the hole. Like, that's all this was to me, was just like, if I'm LeBron and them, I'm just mad. I wouldn't feel defeated at all. Like, damn, man, we gave our best effort and we just lost. I'd be like, man, what the fuck are we doing?
So then, but I guess, you know, the other problem I have with this, and this is a whole other issue, is these press conferences. They holding press conferences and not holding each other accountable.
Yeah.
And we hold each other accountable.
That's true.
We're on the sideline. You'll be like, you know, J-Man, stop taking the fucking threes. Like, take your ass down low and.
Yeah, you said it. Did you see what Spoelstra said about Bosch's threes?
Yes.
He was like, well, I guess at that point he was open for a reason. I was like, that's good, dog. I like how you slid. That's a Phil Jacksonism. That's how Phil slided in. Like, his ass was bricking.
Right. So that, but we hold each other accountable. Yeah. But LeBron won't, he'll just say, oh, we as a team were fatigued. Yeah. When LeBron really just need to be like, he need to do that TO when he did to McNabb. McNabb looked tired.
Sell him out.
He need to just be like, look, he was tired. His knee was bothering him, but they also were tired. And we can't be tired in this game.
Yeah. I feel like Bron thinks the same thing I think, which is I can still play better.
Yep.
And that's why he didn't say shit, cause he's waiting to that game where he has 40 and then they lose. Cause he gonna be like, man, what the fuck? He
can't do that. He can't wait that long.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying, I think he looked at that stat sheet and went 7 for 16. I could do way better than that. And then that's why he said we instead of going, I did my thing. I don't know what the problem was. Cause he was looking like, I can't say I did my thing the way I do it. This is not up to my snuff.
I can't believe LeBron only looked at the points. I think LeBron, once he saw, damn, I had 18 rebounds? Like.
Yeah, see, he not as impressed with that as me and you.
That's dog. 18.
I'm telling you, he not, dude. I'm,
18 boys count. Like,
he on another stratosphere of like to him, he's like, eight. He probably looked at Skip Bayless' timeline and was like, that's a good point, Skip. That's how I feel like LeBron is on himself. That's why he's so good, is that he developed that obsessive Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan shit on the low. He just not a raging narcissist like them, where he can't help. Like, he hides it well, but I really do feel like he looks at 7 for 16, 18 boards, 10 assists, and only 2 turnovers and goes, I can do better than that.
I can't. Man, listen. They hired Wallace and Rodman, both spent years in the league just because they could rebound.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, and they would might have an 18 rebound game. Yep. Maybe. They would get like 10, 11 rebounds a game.
This nigga
hit 18 rebounds.
Bron is not impressed with his own 18
and
points.
And 10 assists with those bums.
Bron is not impressed. I'm telling you.
No, if he.
Take
80 of them rebounds away then.
He will have a better game two. That's what I'm saying.
Offensively, yes.
Yeah, but, I'm not saying he might never get 18 rebounds again in this series.
You take 80 of those rebounds away, it still puts the game competitive to me.
Because
those
possibly,
18 offensive rebounds that.
Well, nah, there was 16 defensive, 2 offensive. But I'm just saying.
Right, that's my point. That means that's offensive rebounds for the Spurs.
Oh, well, somebody else could have possibly got some of those. I wouldn't give all 16 of those to the Spurs. My point being, he's looking at it like, if we up 20, I don't give a fuck how many rebounds they're getting.
Can I say, too, that the Heat got a little payback, a little karma in that game?
Mm-hmm. How so?
With Haslam and Mike Miller both getting their head stepped on.
Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm.
I was like, Nate Robinson somewhat is like, oh, let's see how I feel now, huh?
Yeah.
They don't feel too good.
But my thing is, I expect more aggressive drives to the bucket from LeBron. Mm-hmm. More free throws.
I agree.
Three
more. Seven. I see him getting about seven.
I'm gonna move this to double digits. If he needs double digits free throw attempts every game. I think also if you add it up to double digit free throw attempts, all of a sudden you take some of the Spurs' best players off the court, and that is where you get your difference. Where, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, maybe LeBron isn't getting 18 rebounds, but Tim Duncan's not on the court. Tiago Splitter's not on the court. What was the other dude they had on that creative player dude? Green? No, not Green. What's the dude with the dreads? With the cornrows?
Leonard. Kawhi Leonard, yeah.
Yeah, like possibly Kawhi Leonard's not on the court because, man, I'm sorry, man, but LeBron is a beast that you can't stop.
They didn't even double team him, though.
Right, but... He is on him. He's the best player in the NBA. It's on him to change the tenor of the game by driving to that basket.
So to me, that says then pop a double team, which keeps them out of foul trouble,
which is fine. Cause that's why they paid Battier, Miller, Rashard Lewis, Ray Allen.
I don't think Rashard gets in the game.
Okay. But I'm just naming names, Jones. I'm naming
people. Shots. Ray the only one gonna hit shots right now. Ray is the only one got his shot back.
But you're talking about the game changing. If you're talking about them double teaming Bron in the paint, then they're not the same shots as before. They're open shots. And I think they can knock down open shots.
If the Spurs stop playing defense.
If you double team LeBron in the paint, you're giving up an open shot because his passing ability is too good.
See,
like
this is the thing the Spurs did, man. I think a lot of people forgot is they got old in front of us and got young in front of us and never missed the playoffs during that time.
Yeah, but look though, a open shot don't give a fuck how young the dude running out of the open shot is. Like, right,
but you saw Green at the end of the fourth still running out with fresh legs.
Fouling Ray Allen.
A stupid ass foul. He doesn't do that again next game, but he's still closing out, I guess is what I'm saying.
Then he hits the shot. I'm telling y'all, dog, look. You give this nigga open, if you double team LeBron James, the cost is open shots. It's no,
but at this point, Ray knocking him down.
But at this point in his career, that's just what you're giving up. Now, if you say, if you're the Spurs and you go, I don't think anyone can hit an open shot other than Ray Allen, then that's what you're going to live with.
Right.
And then they'll lose. But I really think,
I think
Mike Miller going to hit his open shots. He was 2 for 3 yesterday.
I think he got kicked in the head. He slowed all the way the fuck down.
Well, he was 2 for 3 yesterday. I think they have dudes that can hit open shots. I think Norris Cole can hit his open shots. And like I said, I think you can space the floor out. And the other thing that was pissing me off too is, okay, so LeBron James passes it out. That doesn't mean everybody give up and just shoot a shot. Go to the hole.
See, during the third, when they had kind of stretched their lead out a little bit, yeah. In second, I noticed LeBron was kicking the ball out, passing it, because, you know, everybody got to get their shots, yep. Like Dwayne S.
Yeah.
I noticed the ball would come back to him about three, yep, or four passes.
I noticed that too, man. I didn't like that shit.
That's why his shoot percentage was so low.
Right.
Because he getting it with like 4 seconds left on the shot clock.
If you get the ball from him, it doesn't mean you have to shoot the three. Maybe they close out on the three. Put the ball on the ground, shoot a two. Go to the bucket, get fouled. It's not like basketball is a pretty simple game. No matter how you like try to, we could make it sound complex, but y'all have the best player.
It's simple because your basketball IQ is a little higher.
Maybe, dog, but these dudes are NBA players or NBA coach.
But their basketball IQ still not that high, dog.
But they NBA players or NBA coach. I don't want no excuses. And you're in the finals, so it's not even like.
I don't want excuses either. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm stating the facts.
Right. I feel you. I don't care about those facts. Do better. You have to do better. It's no excuse, man.
I expect better from Shane Battier because he's a little smarter.
I expect better from Udonis Haslam. Cause he's one of the smartest players in the NBA. That nigga found his spot and said, I'm gonna get rich.
he did maintain where anybody else would have been put out the league.
He was like, I'm gonna get rich. I'm just gonna sit over here shooting these wide open set shots.
Yo, but you know what Pat Riley was thinking? And I was thinking this during the game.
Yeah.
Pat Riley is like, how can I get rid of D-Wade? Will the Hawks take him?
Yeah.
Will the Hawks
I've been saying, no matter what happens after this series, I would get rid of D-Wade. And nobody likes that. They're like, well, what about the city of Miami? I was like, y'all wasn't saying that shit when y'all was talking about amnesty Kobe.
Nah, yeah. Like,
what happened then? Y'all was all forward thinking because y'all don't like Kobe. D-Wade need to go.
They will gladly get rid of D-Wade if they still winning.
I trade D-Wade for Danny Granger right now, straight up.
Oh, he's a consistent guy that can play with LeBron. Right. And he'll hit his shots.
I do it.
No problems.
Call me the asshole. You'll get over it when we're back in that championship. You'll get over it when we're in the finals.
You think D-Wade will trade for Steph Curry?
I would do it. I don't think Golden State would. No, I don't think they would, but I'd take, man.
They should get Josh Smith from the Hawks.
Dog, I'm telling you right now, if I could get Granger for D-Wade, I'd give up a draft pick at D-Wade.
This is what they need to do. All jokes aside, what they need to do is
we're going to get rode about this one, man.
The Clippers would trade for D-Wade.
They might.
The Clippers would. So you trade D-Wade, and you can take Bosch in a package deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take Bosch. And you get Jordan, and you get Paul, because, you know, Paul don't like the other light-skinned dude out there.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason. He don't like him. But you trade them two. At that point, you still a contender.
Yeah.
And it's still Lob City, what you're used to.
Well, for the record, I do not think that trade would ever happen. But
the Clippers would make that trade.
But I would make... Fuck what the Clippers would do. I don't think you're hearing me. I would make the trade, name the trade that gets D-Wade off my team. Just name it, and you got a deal. You got yourself a goddamn deal. I don't like his game no more, dude. And everybody acting like it's cool. Anyone can give you 10 points, dude. And if someone's shooting 16 times, they should be giving you, they should be getting the 16 points that he's getting if he's shooting it 16 times. It's not that fucking impressive.
Satellite-wise, you trade him and get Granger from the Pacers.
Right.
Man, first of all, you put anybody that's, half a player with LeBron.
Wade giving you, he bitching about, I want to hire a bigger role in the team. Bruh, you're giving me one good game out of every seven. Every seven times we take the court, we get one D-Wade game. Fuck you. Give me somebody else, dog. Give me someone else.
Gerald Wallace. He's giving you less than Gerald.
Give me
Wallace
Joe number. Johnson and Gerald Wallace straight up for D-Wade. I'd take it.
He's giving you less than Gerald Wallace numbers.
Right. Fuck that, man. People done lost their goddamn mind about some D-Wade, dude.
He don't even get shoe commercials no more.
Right.
that's the level of y'all, dude. That's where he at right now.
Dude, he just went 7-for-15 to get 17 points and only went to the line four times. And I was like, I will take that for the rest of the series if I could just get that. That's how bad Dwayne Wade is right now.
You know one thing? If he was to kick me one time with that leg out off that little turnaround shot that he does.
Yeah.
I'm guarantee you, I would just grab his leg while he in the air and let him deal with the consequences. I wouldn't even throw a punch because that's the only thing apparently you seem to get in trouble for.
Oh man! But I
would grab his fucking leg if he kicked me one time.
Anyway, man,
I would let him know at the beginning of the game, like, bro, I know you got this reputation. I know you took the leg out on Rondo. That's a Boston thing, but you're not gonna do me like that. You're not kicking me.
Yeah. Hey, look, I'm not gonna I'm not even going to defend Dwayne Wade. Just no,
just
nigga.
Trade him. Amnesty him.
You can do better. Amnesty Dwayne Wade, dude. Y'all can do better, man. Like, don't be scared. Man. You can get these numbers from Gerald Henderson. And I'm not joking. Look at Gerald Henderson's stat line. If a hopeful game is, yo, we got 17 from D-Wade, Gerald Henderson can give you that.
And that right there is why the Lakers were not amnesty Kobe. Because Kobe will still get you 30 a game.
Right.
And nigga,
Kobe was second in scoring last year.
And listen, and you know why he didn't get it?
Because he didn't want it.
He didn't want it.
People were like, you think Kobe would come out and score 33 like he needs tonight? He was like, man, I don't give a fuck about that. I'm Kobe Bryant.
He set out the game. He was like, I don't want to play.
Right. Because of course I could get it. I don't care.
I think he only need like 13 points to win it.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
That, I'm telling you. That's why people keep going. I don't know why they wouldn't amnesty Kobe. That's why, nigga. You don't amnesty the second best scorer in the league. That's stupid.
Not for Howard, who can't hit a fucking...
But you amnesty a dude that hasn't scored 20 points in a couple years. You might want to amnesty that dude. Anyway,
he
we got
20 on the podcast, and I hate that.
Yeah, we got to move on from the finals. But, yeah, speaking of the finals, Dennis Rodman said that LeBron James would be an average player if he played the 1990s. And the Miami Heat would be no match for his old Chicago Bulls team. Now, I do agree that the Chicago Bulls team that had Rodman, Jordan, and Pippen would beat this iteration of hobbled up Wade, jump shooting Bosh, and LeBron James that won't drive to the basket. I agree with that.
They
would have beat the Heat last night. They would have beat them the Heat last night for sure. That's all I go on that. I'm not even gonna argue the rest. Just, I think it's stupid if you think you're dumb. If you think LeBron James is just average in the 90s. The 90s wasn't that fucking good.
Go LeBron, go America.
Right. If you pull for the Spurs, you are pulling against America. only Danny Green was born in America on that roster.
Hey, shouts out to all them light-skinned brothers getting it in.
Getting it in.
In San Antonio. That's a light-skinned man heaven.
My man Fat Man Scoop, Boris Meow, came off the bench, got that one reverse smooth layup, came back and sat on the bench and played again. That's my nigga.
Hey, man, that's a light-skinned man heaven. And you got all them white women out there, too, in San Antonio.
All the everything's bigger in Texas.
Man.
Speaking of a lot of women, you know my man Deacon Jones retired this week. Retired from life. A lot of people know Deacon Jones.
Oh, it's so disrespectful.
As the most feared member of the Fearsome Foursome. He was, you know, one of those people that is a Hall of Famer, everybody respects. I believe they say he even gives the like induction speech for the Hall of Fame most of the time. Like the one you do before the day before you get announced in or whatever. So everybody remembers him for that, you know, 1980 Pro Football Hall of Famer, icon among icons. But this is what I remember him for. NFL Films. Have you ever heard this clip, Justin, about him talking about his famous move, the head slap?
No, go ahead. Let me hear it.
All right. Yeah. Now, the head slap is his move that he used to get advantage on defenders. He slapped them in the head. He used to slap quarterbacks in the head and it disoriented them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They fall to the ground.
Yeah, I heard about that.
All right. So here we go. Here's his clip talking about it.
Atkins' flood of breaking arms was the reality of the Deacon Jones head slap.
The head slap was to do two purposes. One was to give myself an initial head start on the pass rush. In other words, an extra step. Because anytime you go upside a man's head or a woman, then they have a tendency to blink.
I gotta run it back. I gotta run it back, dog.
They missed it. They missed it. Just for y'all missed it.
This made NFL Films now. This is not some rusty ass, hey,
you know
news, like local news station. This is the official bannership of the NFL.
But you know, ironically, after playing it, I don't feel so bad for laughing at him at the remark that you made in his intro.
Well, he's just an equal opportunity person. That's all.
Atkins' flood of breaking arms was the reality of the Deacon Jones head slap.
The head slap was to do two purposes. One was to give myself an initial head start on the pass rush. In other words, an extra step. Because anytime you go upside a man's head or a woman, then they have a tendency to blink their eyes or close their eyes, and that was all I needed.
David Deacon Jones was a defensive end.
Ladies want equality.
Mm-hmm. You say you want equal rights and lefts. Well, now you're getting them. Upside your head.
I said, oops.
Upside your head. Say oops, upside your head. Yeah, that Deacon Jones, man.
He broke it down. He said they gonna close their eyes.
The part that's the most slept on in this is the two purposes. I like that part. Let me play that part again. People sleep on that part of the comment.
Breaking arms was the reality of the Deacon Jones head slap.
The head slap was to do two purposes.
To do two purposes. That's good. That's that good old black man speak. The head slap was to do two purposes.
Man, you gotta love that. Rest in peace. You gotta love it.
Yeah, man. Right. May he rest. Hopefully someone's slapping angels upside the goddamn
pull
head.
Pull out a 40 for him.
Yeah. Later. Slapping them harps out their hands in heaven. One more time, Deacon, for everybody.
That was to do two purposes. One was to give myself an initial head start on the pass rush. In other words, an extra step. Because anytime you go upside a man's head or a woman, then they have a tendency to blink their eyes or close their eyes, and that was all I needed.
That's just a slight head tilt when he says, "Oh, woman." So matter-of-factly.
I bet you his woman was watching it like,
It will make you blink your eyes, girl. That's all he needs.
He right about that.
That's the only advantage he needs around this house, because he wins.
I guarantee you she watched it and was like,
So, a couple things more NBA related now that we've gotten that out the way. Rest in peace, Deacon Jones. Jason Kidd and Grant Hill retired from their chosen profession of basketball. So, like true light-skinned heroes, they went out together. Justin, you want to say anything about them? I know that particularly those are probably two dudes that inspired you a lot.
They did, actually, you know, from back in the video game days, Grant Hill, he was my star for, you know, Detroit Pistons. I keep it short because I know we expounded on the playoffs a long time. But I will say that, you know, they came in together and they went out together.
Mm-hmm.
No homo. Shouts out, Roy Hibbert.
Yeah, that's the next thing we need to talk about, too.
Don't find me.
Jason Kidd, the thing that I always remember about him is that his kid got a big-ass head.
Oh, I thought you was going to say because he gave slaps upside the head, too.
Yeah, he also served two purposes on his wife a couple times. And he did a couple purposes, got him in a little bit of trouble.
I mean, he was just hands-on in his relationship.
And Grant Hill is one of my all-time, like, work ethic heroes. Not because just the injuries and coming back, but how did he get the strength to get out of bed every morning and walk away from Tamia and go play basketball and go on the road and shit? I would have retired, especially when his leg was hurt. I'm like, man, fuck this, man. I'm rich.
We talking about practice.
Right. I'm just going to live on the beach with me and my beautiful bitch and just be chilling.
I think he realized that while she might be as sexy as she is, she didn't make a whole lot.
He was like, I gotta make the ends meet.
He needed a few years of the game to,
Yeah. Beautiful women do cost a lot.
You know what I mean? And he had those kids. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't want to be the stereotypical black man.
I don't blame him, I guess, but man, I'm saying he's a hero. How many dudes you know would have just been like, baby, we don't need a mansion. Well, I just want to be with you.
Now, he's a hero for me for a completely different reason.
Cause he's light skinned.
He's light skinned.
Mm-hmm.
He actually went to Duke.
Mm-hmm.
And married a black woman, dog.
It is amazing. It is
married
amazing.
Married a black woman.
Thomas Hill still dating a white man. Christian Leighton, shout out.
I guarantee you Battier has him a white woman.
Yep.
On his own. Mm-hmm. Elton Brand. All of them.
Everybody except like Jason Williams and, you know, William Avery probably dated sister. You know, like the ones that people consider failures.
Nah.
Actually, Jason Williams probably got a white woman.
He got a white woman, though.
Yeah. But be honest. William Avery. That's a sister, right? Him, Corey Maggette.
Man, they smoking plants and everything together.
That was that crew. Knuckleheads.
Corey Maggette got him a white woman, too.
You think Corey got a white
Corey
woman?
Corey
Maggette. Hey, that was that crew, though. That crew was knuckleheads, dog. Coach K was like, I gotta stop recruiting these niggers.
Didn't he? Did try.
Yeah.
He did try.
The Heat Pacer game was the most watched game ever in TNT history. It set the ratings record for TNT. So, of course,
I'll praise LeBron.
I think this is due not to LeBron, but to a man named Roy Hibbert, who at the game 6 called the press, y'all motherfuckers, and also threw out a nice no homo after talking about getting stretched out by the Heat. He got fined $75,000. So for people keeping a record, $100,000 for faggot, $75,000 for no homo, and zero for pause. So if you keep it a record, that is the current going rate for homophobia in the NBA. Watch it back. And I just gotta say, man, every defense of this is milk to me, because the only, you should never even get past this point. And I don't understand how anyone gets past this point in this argument. He was at work. That's
can I,
it.
Can I say this though?
Yeah, of course.
In his defense, he had just finished playing Chris Bosh, and I'm sure it was on his mind. I'm sure it was on his mind.
Oh man.
And that's the only reason I can say I can validate him slipping up. And you had to give him some leniency. Like
I wouldn't give him any leniency. Cause
I just finished playing Chris Bosh. I mean, come on.
I've had much tougher jobs.
Give me a minute to decompose. Like I just walked out the shower, came straight up.
Hey, I've had much tougher jobs that had much stricter use on words. And I've actually been in more excitable situations. But after I hit game winning shots, and Justin can vouch for me. After I hit game winning shots, I don't walk around on the sideline and go, you mother fucking faggots, no homos, queers. I don't say that.
Right. But you've also never hit that shot after being accosted by a down low brother.
No, I hit the shot on Mac. I beg to differ. You see how Mac boxes out. Nah, if I can keep my cool, if I can keep my cool, busting in his face.
Seven games. Six games in a row.
If I can keep my cool, busting Mac for six games and never once pull out any homophobia, I feel like that's not too much to ask of Roy Hibbert.
But that's a veteran you've been playing for a while. Roy, let's give Roy a few more years of playing against Chris Bosh.
No. Let's give him a $75,000 fine. That's the best way to learn. The NBA can't fuck around either because, unfortunately for them, since they've had issues with this in the past and they have a campaign dedicated to doing exactly not this, they can't afford to go like, he's so unaware, dude. Like, they could not have possibly been like, hey man, we're gonna let this one go.
Maybe he saw the same South Park episode I saw last night where they was talking about everything is gay.
Maybe, man, because I know South Park does come on the NBA TV. Oh wait, that's Comedy Central. This nigga is at work, dog. Come on, Justin. He at work.
Man, I'm just saying, he just finished playing Chris Bosh. He probably was in the locker room seeing the highlights of Bosh and how he hold his mouth. Bosh boxing out on him, grabbing his crotch and shit the whole game.
But how many times have you been at work and you knew a dude was probably on the down low and you didn't slip up? Right? Justin, you closed a big account. Oh man, that's good for me. I'm really glad that I could blow up like this, no homo.
But how awkward the conversations are though. It's kind of like every word is kind of like, well, I won the game. Okay, good. Yeah, can I get out of here now?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the Chris Bosh's gay shit is kind of tired anyway now.
No.
But,
it can never get old.
But it's taking on a life of its own. it's hack to me because so many people make the joke that, like, for me, I like my humor to be a little more, like, off the beaten path. So, like, if you come up with a new way to make a joke about it, yeah, but most of the time it's just, like, the same gifs of him doing shit. So, it doesn't move me anyway. I really just think that he, like most males in America between 20 and probably 35, especially black males, and that love hip hop, it's just in his lexicon. No homo, pause, all that shit is just in his lexicon of what he reaches forward to make jokes. And he thought the shit was hilarious.
Well, I don't think he was making a joke. I think
he laughed at it. Do you want me to play the audio?
No, I know he laughed at it, but I think he laughed at it like, oh shit, I let that slip out.
Oh.
Like, okay. Not like I'm trying to be funny. It was like, oh shit, I let that slip out. Like, I'm laughing. Yeah, and the other thing is though, he's saying, like, I'm not, like, he wasn't making fun of gays either.
He is.
He wasn't. Is. Like,
there's no way to use homo in a sentence that doesn't, that the butt of the joke is not something about gay people.
Do we have any gay listeners? Any
of course. Toya, Chill, Reggie.
Well, wait,
yeah.
It's different. I also discern the difference between homosexual women and homosexual
men. Well, of course, you can do whatever the fuck you want to, but real life doesn't give a fuck about that. Real life is like, you can't get married. Y'all both had the same genitals. So, like, I think that...
I don't think Chill would be mad with the no homo.
She might. I don't know.
I think if he was,
I'm not going to assume, you know how Chill is. You assume at your own risk. Go ahead.
I'll just say, I
she going to hear this. She got a membership.
I think Chill would be offended if he was blatantly saying something. I think he was just like, isn't all her rap songs she listened to? So I don't see her being
offended. Even know that Chill listen to rap. Real talk.
I think she does. I think Chill listens
to it. I ain't never heard her talk about it, really.
I think she listens to any and everything.
She ain't like Kendrick Lamar. She told me that for sure on my Facebook page.
Why would she got against Kendrick Lamar?
I know.
He never said no homo.
I don't think she listened to rap, dude. But real talk, though, man, for a serious second, there isn't a way to say homo or no or faggot or pause that the joke isn't that homosexuality is funny.
All jokes aside, he should have got a larger fine than $75,000.
I thought he was going to. Some people wanted him suspended. I thought that would have been like the NBA setting up the biggest conspiracy theory of all. They would never get over the y'all wanted LeBron James to go to the finals, so y'all kicked that center out for saying something that wasn't that bad.
Well, have they ever suspended anyone for just words? I know they fine the fuck out of you, but
yeah, I had to think about that. I can't think of it off the top of my head,
and that's why I would say no suspension. But I thought his fine was going to be higher because it wasn't like he was on the bench just talking trash and the cameras picked it up. His was at the press conference.
Yeah,
like no, yes, his fine should have been. Yeah, like,
just the word homo has never been used good. It just hasn't. Nobody ever. Yo, what's up, Justin, my homo? Shit. You know how we homos do, my homo. We gonna be hanging out at the club tonight. You know what's up? Like, it's no way to use it good. He just thought it was funny.
I didn't use it when I even talk about us going balls deep.
Yeah. He just thought it was funny.
He meant for it to be funny, though. I think he laughed like, oh shit, and then laughed at himself and kept going.
Yeah. No, I mean, the impulse to even say it is because our culture has been bred to think that shit is funny. Like, especially if you listen to Dipset, if you listen to certain hip hop acts, even Jay-Z has been like paused in the middle of like a conversation. It's like, you know, he's supposed to be intelligent. We still kind of go, yeah, I guess it's funny. That was a gay way to say that.
The other thing was, that's been 2 years older. Like, what is he listening to when people still talk?
Yeah,
like
he still listening to Dipset probably.
Cause that's 2 years old.
Yeah, I can't believe people. Yeah. Anyway, good job. He got fined. I don't give a fuck. It ain't that much money anyway. He'll get over it. And if he would have got suspended, then I think it would have got even crazier. By the way, Brittany Griner, we forgot to cover this, but she said she was told not to discuss her sexuality when she played at Baylor. And the only thing I'll take from this story is it's amazing that women's college basketball still has the people won't come to this university if they think the players are gay. Like, hasn't everyone assumed most WNBA women's basketball players are, like, gay?
All the way down to high school.
Yeah. Like, I'm not even, and I don't mean that in some, if you play women's basketball, you are gay 100% of the time. I just mean, it's assumed that some players are gay. Unlike the NBA, which is patently ridiculous that it's this way, I think, female basketball is light years ahead of male basketball because I thought everyone understood a lot of these players are gay and it's okay.
Ironically, there's the opposite where most people assume they're gay and have to prove that they're not gay.
That's what I thought too.
They have to prove it. Like they have to literally go out and marry a whack ass Duke player. And have a baby by him.
Right. I've heard, like they will be like, I know he's ugly. I don't care because I need a man in my life, so y'all will stop saying that I'm gay.
Yo, Swoops.
Yeah. You're like, okay, Candace, but you are beautiful. She's like, I just need a beard, basically, okay? Yep. It's not about what Jason looks like. Yep. But I'm not saying no names.
But Swoops was married for years in a relationship that she wasn't happy with just to pretend, which is odd.
Yeah. I didn't think you had to, but I realize now between that and between this, like, obviously, there's a lot of prejudice still going on.
It's the same people that show up for Chick-fil-A to be like, you fuck y'all and your rights.
I guess so, man. I've gone to WNBA. You ever been to a WNBA game?
Yes, I used to go to them all the time here in Charlotte.
Dude, it's like women walk around holding hands, men like wearing matching outfits. I just thought like, oh, okay, it's cool. Everybody's out here.
That's the culture. Like my first game was a shock to me.
Me too. Yeah, this, I was walking with Karen and this chick like recklessly eyeballed her and I was like, hold my hand, baby. I don't.
Well, I was shocked.
I might lose my woman up
I was shocked more because there were so many people that you would see that you knew and you were like, oh.
Right. I didn't know you was like that.
Yeah, like it was like, so you're out, just not out everywhere.
But like I said, I had no idea. And I'm surprised this story didn't get more run because that's shocking to me that that sport hasn't already dealt with this.
It's probably more prevalent than we think too. Like it's not just at that university.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. If it happened at Baylor, then what are they saying at Tennessee?
Yeah. Or especially these predominantly Catholic schools.
Yep.
What's that school? The guy got suspended for having sex.
BYU?
Yes. Brigham Young?
Yeah.
Like, definitely at that school, we know.
Yeah. I don't know. Anytime I hear people got to pretend to be something they're not just so they can do something that everybody has the right to do, pretty much, you know, if you're good enough, I always feel like that's fucked up. Speaking of which, Donovan McNabb said on RG3, it's too much right now, RG3. Calm down. It's too much right now. It's just too much. I get some of the things he's doing to draw attention to himself. The Adidas commercials, going out and enjoying the life of a young, famous NFL quarterback. I understand RG3 has a lot of stuff going on, but if you're coming off anterior cruciate ligament surgery, you don't need to be having a press conference at organized team activities. Every week, really? It's become a circus and a sideshow. It takes away from the focus of those sessions what those sessions are supposed to be about, the team.
Really, Donovan?
Mm-hmm. So when I look up on TV and I see him up there talking all the time about how great he's doing or doing jumping jacks or someone else talking about his supernatural healing powers, I wonder to myself, is this about selling tickets to the fans or what? I don't blame him. They're letting him do it. But at some point, it can be counterproductive. You can set yourself up for more criticism later.
Really, Donovan?
Especially if Robert doesn't play at first or isn't right in the first 8 weeks. And it takes a while for him to become a player he was. So what if you start 2-for-6 or 3-and-5? When everyone wonders what happened, starts thinking, but wait, you told us he was great a few months ago. He told us he was great. So.
Really, Donovan.
Let me tell you something. Number one, this is two things for me, Justin.
Two purposes.
Sir, two purposes.
Explain it to me, my brother.
All right, let me do two purposes on this. Number one purpose. I feel like they do this to every motherfucking analyst that was an NFL player who turns into an analyst, right?
Yep.
They make you diss somebody that you love. and I mean, you can go back, man.
That's the only way you can join a fraternity, man.
Right. It's like all of a sudden you got fucking, the bus when he was talking shit about, Ben Roethlisberger, and remember Tiki Barber when he started talking shit about Eli Manning.
Yep.
And his coach. Like, and people just like, well, he's a turncoat, but it's more than him too. What's the dude that,
Johnson did it?
They make you do, the dude that used to be a line, Sapp, Warren Sapp. Yeah. Like, you go down the line. It's like your first couple years. It's like, hey, man.
Dude from the Patriots.
Right. You
Teddy Bruschi.
Yep.
It's not just the black man.
It's the white man too. It's everybody, dude. And that's the one purpose. The second purpose is this. Donovan McNabb is absolutely right. Why is he right? Not because of RG3, but because of white people. That's why he's right. And I hate to say it. He's been burned enough to know what it's like. Well, he's like, when you winning and everybody like you is completely different than when you just lose and everybody hates you. And he's preparing him for the worst, which is if you go 3-and-5, oh, by that 8th week, they will be saying this shit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I hate that he's right. I wish I could chalk it up to like, man, he just a bitter black quarterback that played for Philly. And he remembers all that racism. He don't know what the fuck he talking about. Times have changed, RG3. Mm-hmm. But he's right. Them people that bought him shit for his wedding registry.
Nigga, you gonna play today.
That shit gonna be so trail.
The mouse will say. You gonna play today.
Dude, can you imagine? Can you imagine to be 3-5 and he just feel like, I might have came back too early. I wasn't ready. Excuse me, RG3, I have a question. Yes,
yes, Master.
This is, Larry Jones with the Washington Post. Can I have my toaster back?
You know what?
You enjoying those throw pillows? You putting your knee up on those throw pillows that I bought you for, for your wedding?
Everything you said, it makes a lot of sense, but I disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one reason why.
One purpose?
This is the one purpose of all my purposes.
Yes.
And it's because the fact that Donovan knows the game, he's experienced multitude of times. Then why do you sell out again?
Yeah.
And do it in the media?
He didn't have to do it, dog.
Really, Donovan? Really?
He didn't have to do it. I'm not even defending Donovan McNabb here.
Even if he'd have just said one thing, he expounded on the topic.
I mean, what's the deal? Do you really think they like, I'm going to fire you if you don't say this?
No.
Because why do these dudes do it? I would just be like, no.
So I can't support anything that Donovan said because he didn't. You telling me you can't? First of all, you keep trying to reach out to art. This is not the first comment he's made.
Well, he always has reached out to black quarterbacks, which is one of the things I really like about Donovan McNabb. Because every other black quarterback acts like we conquered racism so many years ago that we shouldn't even be talking to each other or about it. Right. And time after time, these dudes slap his hand like racism don't exist. And then the second they go 3-5 and people turn on them, they be like, well, maybe, you know, it could be some racism. And everybody like, no, you said Donovan McNabb didn't know what the fuck he was talking about and racism don't exist. So now you're going to play the race card, Cam Newton? Like, that's what's going to happen. And I'm tired of seeing it happen over and over. And it looks like these young dudes are in too much a stressful position to be able to talk honestly about race. And I don't blame them.
Yeah, because they do it to the league.
Yeah, so it's up to McNabb.
But this is the thing. He's always avoided voicing his opinion in the media.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to expound on this topic, instead of just maybe saying, hey, you know what? He's doing a little too much right now. I think he should calm down. And then saying, look, Robert, some film going to come out about some things I said, but this is how I really feel.
Yeah.
And actually just going in detail and discussing with him the ins and outs of it and the whys.
But he is the media now.
Right, and that's fine, but you can't. That makes his whole argument a contradiction.
Yeah,
I'm the media, and I'm telling you the game.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I've always been against the media, he my like entire that. Career.
He like a black manager at your company, dog. Well, he's like, Justin, can I talk to you for a second? Look, man, they're gonna talk about the way that you come in with your pants sagging. You need to pull your pants up, and then you go. Man, I don't believe that time has changed, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, okay. So, anybody knows Justin Pants been sagging? That's what he's saying. He just telling them before this.
Right. Like, but you get it right.
Yeah.
So I can't listen.
It's wrong. Like,
I can't listen to him then.
It's wrong and it's right.
And the other thing is though, RG3 stay in the news, man. Build your brand up.
Yeah. I like RG3.
Build your brand up. Make yourself so that when football is done, you won't have to get into the media and do these things.
Quite simply, I like RG3. I like Donovan McNabb, honestly. But you don't have to do this. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I would like to see one of these athletes turn analysts go, I don't need this fucking job that bad. That's why I have millions of dollars. I'm just doing this to stay away from my family on Sundays still. So y'all not about to make me come out here and start saying shit that is just going to make me look like a sellout in front of everybody.
Right.
That's what I would say, man. Like,
become a quarterback coach.
Something.
Like Gruden stopped fucking coaching and was like, I'm never going back.
I would just be like, no. I don't get why you can't say no. And I mean, more than McNabb. Tiki Barber, Jerome Bettis. Yeah.
They could spend the rest of their life doing camps.
What's the dirty nigga from that used to play for the Patriots that's on Sunday Night Brisky. Football? The cornerback. He used to hurt people with fucked up hits.
Um, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, is it something Harrison? Rodney Harrison? I don't know, I might be tanking that. But anyway, he plays for, he's, yeah, someone write the show, let me know if it's Rodney Harrison. But actually I can Google that. But like, this nigga will be like, he didn't have to sell out. Like, you don't see him on there being like, the Patriots suck. He'd be like, well, we about, also Tony Dungy. Yep. Well, Tony Dungy, he an old black man though. He probably had said something.
Yeah, McNabb could have clearly criticized somebody from a team that he played against and not for.
Or just do it to, oh shit. I mean, do that. Or just do it to the fucking, Eagles.
Yeah.
They did you dirty. Just do it to be like, Andy Reid don't know what he's talking about. All right. So we got, well, let's get into some odds and ends, real quick. We got a few things. Number one, Nick Saban. And I don't know how this is legal. Nick Saban apparently is selling his house, right? Mm-hmm. And if you buy his house, he will throw in season tickets to Alabama football. This is a multi-million dollar home now.
Oh, wait, it looks nice. This,
mm-hmm.
It's on the lake.
Yeah.
Let's describe the home, first of all.
It looks like three homes. It looks like three homes.
This house has four garages.
Four garages, guys.
Two on each side of the house. In case you're not sure about which side of the house.
It's an $11 million home. All right, so.
It has a nice lake in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
It actually has grass in the front yard.
So he's linking a charity auction to the sale of his home. Don't forget, he is a state employee, technically. And if you buy the home, you also get this, four tickets to his private family box.
Mm-hmm. Roll Tide.
For SEC conference home game during the upcoming season. Not season tickets, just a one time, I guess. A parking pass, pregame sideline passes. A
parking pass, dog?
Mm-hmm. So you can park right at the front. Pre-game sideline passes, tours of the Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Well, they'll have the players out there shuffling, shucking and jiving just for y'all.
Oh, no, no, no. You get to actually see them on the auction block because you get to go to the locker room.
Nice.
And you go to Saban's office. Tied to your selling your home in the same sport where you can't get a gold chain if you play for fucking Ohio State. If you got a tattoo, you have to get kicked out of the sport.
You can't even sell your jersey, dog. Your jersey.
This is amazing, the fucking hypocrisy of sport, of college football, man. The shit people have to do to justify watching it.
All I can say is Nick Saban, get your money, dog.
Oh God, it's so bad. It's so bad, man.
So you athletes, really, this is the thing I think the athletes messing up at. They should put their money together and get them a college.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
Just get your university.
I just think if it would not take long if the, it'll never happen, but literally if the best players just said, we're not going to college this year, it would take within 1 year, the NFL would change their policy because they're not going to stop taking the best athletes. Like the NFL, no matter, even though they use the NCAA as a filtering tool, almost as a, as the NFL DL league, apparently.
Yep. And weed out some of the guys who consistent troublemakers.
Yeah. Like they use them as a developmental league and all this shit. If it ever was forced, there's no doubt in my mind that the NFL would immediately, they would eat college football alive because they would be like, actually, you guys aren't getting these players anymore. So we're going to just go directly to these players. And it doesn't mean that they're going to start, high school football players in the NFL. So everybody out there that's getting ready to write that letter, erase that shit because you're stupid. I'm saying what they would do is just induct players into the system a little earlier. So it's like, okay, you know how they have practice squads right now? Instead of practice squads being filled with dudes that are never going to be NFL players, they would fill them with young dudes, get them lifting weights, get them on a diet that is a professional nutritionist diet, get them on all those supplements and shit, and start training them in NFL drills from the time they're 17 as a, and then eventually in a couple of years, they'll have the man muscle to be able to compete with NFL players.
It'll be that farming system just like baseball, where you can go straight from high school to the minors.
Yeah, they wouldn't. I mean,
for a protein.
The NFL is cutthroat. Don't think for a second that if college football got in the way of them getting to good players, they wouldn't just fucking eat them alive.
Yeah, because they always need stars.
Yeah, they don't care.
The NFL always needs a new face, and especially, and this is the thing, it has to be a few quarterbacks and maybe some running backs, but definitely quarterbacks.
Yep. Speaking of college players, PJ Harrison got caught with some weed, dog.
Well, no comment on that. Mm-hmm. It's just some marijuana. He wasn't putting mollies in chicks' drinks.
He got caught at a license check for the police. They found a 9mm handgun on the ground.
Was he in North Carolina when this happened, though? I don't see this being in North Carolina.
It was Durham. They found a 9mm on the ground next to his car. They're currently doing forensic testing on the gun.
Durham, North Carolina, though. Not Durham, California somewhere.
Which does explain why he needed the 9.
That does explain it. But I'm saying... for those that don't know, Durham it connects to Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you literally cross the line from Chapel Hill into Durham.
Yeah, he fucked up, man, because he said he would be coming back to UNC.
Carolina fans live in Durham.
Yep.
Even though that's where Duke is located, they still have more Carolina fans in Durham.
Did you see the story about D-Wade's ex-wife?
Yep.
Showing up at his job.
Yep.
D-Wade's ex-wife served a subpoena to Pat Riley at the Heat Pacers game 5.
And this was my question. How did she get past security? They all fired, dog. They all fired. They all fired.
I know Pat Riley looked at them in disgust when he was holding that subpoena. He was looking at that security team like, nigga.
Listen, her pass to get past security was revoked 2 years ago when he started dating Gabrielle Union.
Yeah.
How did she get past security?
She wants Pat Riley to testify on Dwayne Wade's contract and how much he's really making.
Smart, man.
Process server Chris Yellman, owner of Gotcha Legal Services.
Gotcha, bitch.
That's what they say after they give you that subpoena. And like, sir, would you sign for this package real quick? Yeah, sure. Let me just see that envelope. Gotcha. You just been served. That would be the only better name for a subpoena serving company. You just got served. That would be good. That would be good, too. He called the Heat unprofessional. His servers have tried to hand rally his subpoena at the American Airlines Arena to no avail. So here's the thing. Matter of fact, it was Wall Street, Will Strickland, who hit me up on Twitter about this. Said, can you believe this, dog? She's out of control. Mm-mm. And I said, I can believe it, and I'm on her side.
I'm on her side, too.
Right. I don't know how you can't be on her side. Is she crazy? Yes. But she was driven crazy, and it's not her fault. She did everything right.
And she's actually the reason why my wife hates Dwayne Wade.
I don't blame her.
It's not even basketball reasons why she don't like Dwayne Wade.
She went and did everything that people tell you to do when you are dating a black man full of potential. She let this nigga sleep on her couch. He didn't have nowhere to stay, dog.
Before he had potential.
Before he even had potential. When he was just dunking on niggas at the YMCA, she had his back, and he betrayed the fuck out of her, dog.
Before his growth spurt.
Gave him two boys.
Two.
Boys.
Not men. They will grow up to continue his legacy in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Like, if she was a queen and he was a king, she would have been kept.
Two boys.
And how did he reward her? Cheating on her.
Filing for custody.
Mm-hmm. Calling her crazy, making her look bad, playing her voice messages for everybody to hear and shit.
She went and changed physical features on her body. Not for herself, because she wanted to do the end thing. For him. Like, oh.
He's not even married to the woman he cheated on her with, dog. Gabrielle Union, like, I don't want to marry you. And the thing is, like, the other thing people sleep on with, his ex-wife, Siobhan, or whatever. She got the plastic surgery. She did the physical training.
For him.
For him, dog.
She actually was attractive.
She went and made herself look better. Like, that's the thing that people sleep on. Like, I don't even want to hear the old, like, oh yeah, you know, he's so lazy. And now she got to go on fucking Bossip and look at pictures of her two sons holding hands with Gabrielle Union in a bathing suit, running around at the motherfucking beach. And that's supposed to be okay?
And when she was staying there, she couldn't go on trips. It ain't in the budget.
Right. She not supposed to be getting this money? Son, you out your fucking mind.
Wayne Wade kid's what, 7, 8 years old?
Yes, and you can't even do the whole, well, you wasn't with me shooting at the gym. She was with him shooting at the gym.
Yes.
He broke her, man. He broke her.
How many of y'all niggas could move in at your girl house?
Come on, son.
With her mama though. With permission from her mama. Let's be honest.
Right now. Call your girl. Just do an experiment. Pick up the phone. Pause this for a second. Pick up the phone. Call your girl. Ask her, can you come down? Can you stay for her?
And tell her a story. Say, baby, you know what? I lost my job. I had my money tied up in some business ventures. They kind of fell through.
I've been practicing my jump shot a lot lately.
I'm getting evicted. I just need a place to stay for a year or two.
Yeah.
See what she say.
I remember seeing her during the Christmas game after she had the plastic surgery. And they was interviewing her. I was like, who the fuck is this?
With them big ass titties.
Look at these titties. The fuck is going on?
They were slapping him in the face.
Dude.
He went home and she would motorboat them fake ass titties in his face every night.
Every night, dude. She was working hard. I don't want to hear the shit, dog. Sorry. No excuses. Anyway, I hope she gets her money, too. Money. Not that money. Hope she gets her money. Pat Riley, you better testify.
Listen, but he will. And this is another reason why Pat Riley gonna get with a D-Wade. Cause white people don't want these problems at their job, man.
Right. He probably, as soon as it happened, he went to his GM like, he went to his personnel guy like, hey, give me the options for amnesty, D-Wade. That's all.
Keep this to yourself.
Yeah. Something going on? Nah. I just like to know my options. That's all. How much would it save? What would we be able to do?
Nah, Pat Riley's smart enough to be asked. I wanted a breakdown for each player of the team.
Yeah, right. Even LeBron. Can you do me a favor though? Highlight the D-Wade section. Just highlight it for me. Thank you. That's all.
Yo. Yo, white people do not want the problems at work, man.
Hey, if I find this picture of her in this dress, I'm putting this shit on the site. I remember seeing this shit like, God damn, the titties got their own gravity.
You gotta look up her name and
I looked up Siobhan and dress and I still couldn't find it. You know she spelled her shit crazy, but it was like Christmas too. It was a Christmas game. Let me see if I put Siobhan Christmas game. Man,
but because here's the thing, and I don't, you know, all y'all work right. Mm-hmm. Just listen to this, y'all know you can't explain to your boss why you got to go to court. For any reason, even if it's a fucking traffic ticket, you be like, fuck, I got to take the day off. I'm not going to tell them. I got to go pay this ticket. It was 90 over in a 55. You not trying to explain it. So you definitely not trying to explain to your boss that he subpoenaed to actually have to go to court too on right. Your bullshit.
Dude, I'm going to send a picture of this out, man.
Your bullshit. And she looked nice before the surgery.
And then went and got it because she knew she was losing him.
Son.
And he was going Hollywood, and this is what he needed was some big-ass fake brown titties in his face and a whole lot of ass. And she said, I will do this for you, baby.
Now, I know y'all saying she was in it for the money the whole time. No. Listen, D-Wade got her pregnant. Went off to college. She stayed at home raising the kids. sending this nigga money right. while he in school, and y'all swear up and down, and college athletes, they broke, they need money. She took care of him while he fucking all them other college girls. Cause let's be honest, mm-hmm. we know he was fucking them other college
girls.
Come
on, girls. He was fucking them bitches.
And she stood by him. Man, he gone. He gone from the Heat.
He gone, dog.
This is final tour. I hope y'all fans should have been at the game on time in Miami.
Like, this really almost enough time. This is almost enough to make me want the Spurs to win. Cause I feel like then they have to get rid of Dwayne Wade.
Yep.
So anyway, man.
But no, we want the summer.
I need year LeBron. LeBron. I need year LeBron though. I need him more.
LeBron.
But I'm just letting people know that's how serious I am right now about her needing to get her money. That's all. I'm not even saying he got to get back with her. I get it. It's over. You done drove her crazy, and she's no good to anybody anymore.
She'll probably burn the money in a pile in the
right.
living room.
She don't even want the money. She don't want them. She just want to hurt him, and like he hurt her. Every time she looks at TV and sees him acting like him and Gabrielle Union been together forever.
Yeah, it's going to be one of them waiting exhale moments.
Yeah. And he done proposed to Gabrielle at least 7 times. She probably done said no.
Man, y'all need to look up this interview Gabrielle Union did back in one of her earlier films, like 3 Can Play That Game or something, where she mm-hmm. talked about being a hoe and a homewrecker.
Yeah. Like, plus, all her movies are about surprise, black women can date white men. I mean, come on. Look it up. Look at movie history now.
Facts.
It's nothing but look at the new Gabrielle Union dating a white man movie. I'm like, come on now.
And Balls Deep, we discussed the facts.
We discussed nothing but facts here, people. We just went balls deep in Dwayne Wade's relationships. No homo. Steven Jackson was.
Yo, I'm shocked he's never said no homo at a press conference.
Yo, it's got to be on one of the mixtapes, dude. This guy be on the mix.
I'm shocked he ain't never been like, man, fuck that.
Matter of fact,
ass.
I'm going to save the Steven Jackson news for a little bit. Let's start with this because this is quick. David Stern want to increase the penalties for flopping. Right now it's $5,000 a game.
The $5,000 didn't work?
Right, I guess not. Here's the thing, David Stern. This your last season as commissioner. Shut the fuck up. Mark Cuban wants to do a study in the findings about flops and how much they affect the game. He's provided $100,000 to Southern Methodist University for 18-month investigations of the forces involved in basketball collisions to try to figure out if video or other motion capture technique can identify legitimate collisions and instances of flopping.
So why Southern Methodist University? They don't even sound like they have a basketball team.
Because they're the only one that would do it for $100,000.
They don't even have a basketball team right. in Southern Methodist.
Right.
What are they going to research?
Mm-hmm. He's like, that means y'all will be unbiased. And he was like, how much is it going to cost? And it said $100,000. He's like, all right, no problem. I got that in my change jar. Denver Nuggets were surprised George Karl got fired. I'm saying, didn't he win Coach of the Year? Why are you surprised?
Exactly.
That's what happens.
Just ask Mike Brown.
As soon as you win Coach of the Year, somebody should come by your office and start telling you how sorry they are that you can't be there anymore.
They should. Do they do their cuts like they do in the NFL?
yeah, they do it all nice. Hey man, Tate Champ, can I talk to you for a second? First of all, we're really proud of you here.
Just
hell of a job. Really pushed some of the guys in practice. We really wish we could have you on a team, but things are just tough. We can only keep so many people, you know?
We know about the throat cancer, so we know your insurance is gonna,
right.
It's gonna be, you got till the end of the month.
Right. You get, don't worry, you get 14 more days of throat cancer treatments. And then you're on your own. But, we appreciate you, Carl. Thought you did a good job, George, Carl. And, we're going to miss you around here. We're going to keep you on the practice coaching team. So if you need, you know, hey, don't lose our phone number. Okay, guys, you might be getting a call. All right. Keep your cell phone on you. We might need someone to coach the DL version of our team. So. Whatever you guys say.
I bet George Karl probably the whole time was like, but I thought this was the D-League.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't these the D-League players you gave me?
Oh, well, I like the Nuggets roster, man. I'm not even going to front.
Man.
And he did a good job coaching them, honestly, man.
All of they point guard?
Nah. I like a lot of dudes on their roster, man.
I like the point guard, and that's about it.
Yeah, I had to think about that, but I like Kenneth Ferry.
Nope.
I like, you know what, man? I'm not going to do this with you.
Because you know.
No, because I already know what you're going to say.
You look like they guard.
No, I already know what you're going to say. Is everybody I say I like, you're going to say you don't. So why even do it?
Only the
Andre
guard.
I like Andre Iguodala.
You've never liked Andre Iguodala.
I do like him.
You don't even like his name.
Dude, see, you just making shit up now.
You hate
I've
him
never talked. I've never talked bad about him.
The initials AI, and he tried to take that to
Nah, I never talked bad about him. I actually wish my nickname for him had caught on, but it never did. It was Iggy Hops. That nobody likes it, so
because they don't like him.
Yeah, I'm not saying everybody else likes him, but I don't know. I thought they had a nice young team, and I thought he was the best coach for them to get their potential out.
No, he was. George Karl made that team look sexy.
I think once the thing about the team is once he leaves, I'm not gonna like any of the players. I guess so.
Except their point guard, I can't even think of his name.
You don't like Danilo Gallinari?
Not really.
Isn't his name Danilo? Yeah. I might have just made that up.
What's the point guard name though?
You talking about Ty Lawson?
Yeah. Love that dude.
I love Ty Lawson, man. I love me some Ty Lawson. Well,
come to the Lakers.
They had the second longest winning streak in the NBA too, and that's in a year where the record was almost set by the Heat. So.
They would have fired him last year if he didn't come back from the illness.
Now let's talk about our nigga,
my nigga,
Steven Jackson.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm not even gonna read the headline because it gives away the punchline. Steven Jackson is in Miami. But not to watch his former Spurs teams make play the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals. The veteran Ford, who was abruptly waived by the Spurs in April, told the San Antonio Express News on Tuesday that he hasn't watched any of his former teammates' playoff games and doesn't plan to watch them in the finals either. On Tuesday, Jackson, who flew to Miami to have fun.
Just happened to be down there during the finals. That's all. It's coincidence. He didn't know the Spurs was going to be down there. Why he was going to be down there?
You know, he was like, "Is that what's going on?" I was wondering where everybody was going at night. Okay, cool.
Because he'd been left San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. He said when they asked him about it, he said, "Nope." When they asked if he had any regrets, by the newspaper said, "Do you have any regrets?" He said, "Nope. Made my money." Spurs coach for Greg Popovich said it was best for our group when the team announced Jackson released in April. He told the newspaper he was released by the Spurs because he wouldn't play Popovich's mind games. After his release, he told Sister to Sister magazine, Sister to Sister, Steve.
I mean, let's be honest. Because we know how the type of dude Steve is, we know them the magazines he got at the house. That Vibe,
mm-hmm. King. He still got some old King magazines.
But I can believe his hair magazines at the house from his woman. Like he keep
old women's.
He keep it real in his household.
He said Popovich wanted me to agree to players being better than me, and I didn't agree. Just like me and Justin made up and figured out on our own. Ain't that amazing? Isn't it good to have it verified, man?
It would.
This was just a conversation at the gym where we both kind of put our minds together on, like, it was probably when they put Danny Green on the roster ahead of him.
Man, we was so shocked. Like, I couldn't wait to see Rod at the gym. Like, it was the first thing we talked about.
It was like, wait, cut? They cut him?
Because Steven Jackson he really is our dude, man.
Yes. I knew we both figured out exactly how the conversation went and how he was let go of everything. Immediately, we was just like, so then this must have happened.
I wonder if he listened to the podcast.
He might, man. He confirmed it. He told Express News that the players in question were Danny Green and Manu Ginobili. So he put their names out there.
Of course. No, well, remember, that was the argument. He was calling names out.
And that he was right. That was the main problem. And you know what? He's right. He is better than Danny Green and Manu right now. Yes, I'll say it.
I hated he was not on the bench last night. I kept wanting them to at least talk about him. Like, just be like, Steven Jackson could really help out in a situation like this.
Yeah, they wouldn't have went no damn, 6 for 23 threes? That wouldn't have happened. His ass would have been out there stroking.
Yep. And then you can't say, I'm putting LeBron on the block and make it seem like it's just automatic. Mm-hmm. He gonna score on the block, but he definitely gonna get an elbow or two from Steven Jackson.
Steven Jackson said he make love to pressure. Come on, dude. Nobody else is even thinking like this. Sources close to ESPN.com told Mark Stein in April that the Spurs came to the conclusion that it was best to release Jackson to try to move forward with players who will be in Popovich's playoff rotation. Jackson was a member of the San Antonio title team in 2003 and was reacquired in March 2012 in a deadline day trade with Milwaukee. He averaged 6.2 points, 2.8 rebounds, and 1.5 assists in 19.5 minutes and 55 games this season. He told the Express News on Tuesday that in the end, the release was best for me so I wouldn't go crazy, and admitted I wouldn't want me on the team either. My nigga.
And by crazy, he mean hurts Popovich.
Yep. He said, made my money. Well, we and can't. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, he'll be on the team again, though.
Yeah. This is a vacation for him. He'll be back. This don't mean nothing to him, dog.
Well, Jack.
Yep. We can't end the show without doing the segment we always do. Let me just get this queued up. Hey, Mamba. So, my man, Kobe Bryant.
Oh, I'm so proud of him.
We always have to talk about him at every single show. We have our Hey, Mamba segment. And this week is no exception, as only Kobe Bryant could do this or say this. He said, I'm planning on playing in the opener for next year's NBA season. Mm-hmm. Stitches removed already. Out of a cast and 6 weeks of rehabilitation already under his belt.
Man, they've been showing him on the treadmill. Getting his running on.
You know, that's why he really stopped tweeting. He had time no more. He's like, let me go ahead and get my rehab on. I'm done with this.
Did you see the picture they showed? Well, they actually had, like, you know how that time T.O. broke his leg,
mm-hmm,
or hand, whatever, he was in the hyperbaric chamber?
Yes.
They had that around the treadmill.
Dude.
So you could see, but you could see it, and you could see Kobe on the treadmill.
He a beast, dog. He only cares about one thing.
He not sleeping in the chamber, dog. He worked out in the chamber.
Everybody else, like, I need this so I can sleep. He's like, why aren't you putting in an extra couple hours of workout in the chambers, dog?
Come on, son.
He like fucking Batman. You know, the doctor was like, yeah, you know, we don't sell a lot of these hyperbaric chambers, but, you know, this is our deluxe model. And he said, can you make it bigger?
I want more.
Well, it's really to sleep in. I mean, we've never built one bigger than this.
People sleep in these?
Yeah. Can you make it bigger than this, though? I mean, theoretically, we could make it any size you want, Mr. Bryant. Can you make it big enough to fit a treadmill in? Why would we? But
why are you asking me questions?
Do you want a bed in the? You don't want a big enough for a bed? I want a treadmill. I don't need a bed. I need to work out. I need to get back in the game. That's it. That's it. That shit was made. If he never comes back, and it'll be because he worked himself to death, not because he gave up, but because it was like, Mr. Bryant, you don't have a leg anymore. He's like, can you build me a hyperbaric chamber around this bone?
You remember when, I think it was Kobe's third or fourth season, Kobe came back cut up,
mm-hmm,
and toned?
Yep.
Because he had like a break. He took a break and actually worked out.
Shit, you remember? Fuck that season. Remember that season after Shaq left, the second season? And he put on that damn Barry Bonds muscle. Was out, yes, there killing niggas.
But that's what I'm saying. What y'all think Kobe about to come back looking like?
Dude, he might be the Hulk next year. I don't know. He might come back and be LeBron James size. Just on a whim. Like, I talked to my doctor, and my physician said that maybe if I bulk up, I'll be able to handle more of the impact of the game.
Man, he is the bionic man.
So he's still hoping for a return by the 2013 season opener. He said, I hope so. That's the challenge. With the tendon, that's really only but so much you can do. There's a certain amount of time that they deem necessary for the tendon to heal where you don't overstretch it. And now you never get that spring back. So you just have to be patient. Let the tendon heal. Then When that moment comes, when they say, okay, we can take off the regulators, so to speak, and now it's on you to train as hard as you can to get back to where you want to be, that's going to be a good day. I like how he also never really seems to believe the advice he got, because he was like, they deem necessary for tending the hill. That's what they say.
Man, Kobe got personal doctors that he keep over in Europe just for situations like this.
Yep.
And they supplying him with all the special medication that he needs to heal faster. That's all I can say. That is why Kobe is better than Michael Jordan.
That's why, man. The work ethic, keeping his family together, something that Michael Jordan never could get a fucking handle on.
Did you see Kobe retire to go play baseball?
Nope.
I mean, I'm sure he would have been great at baseball if he chose to play.
Did he get caught out here gambling and shit?
Nope.
Just saying, people. Well, this has been another episode of Balls Deep Sports. Just me and Justin. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. It went a little long today, but we had a lot to cover, man. I can't believe so much shit happened this week. But we'll be back again next week. I think we'll probably be on a Thursday instead of a Friday, so you guys will get it a day earlier. Till next time, we'll talk to you guys then. Peace out.